Hayodeya es atzmai. Yimsa gam derech latakin atzmai. Ki im loy l'shem tikun, ma lo hayodeya. Somebody who knows himself will also know how to rectify himself. For if not for the sake of rectification, what would be the purpose of this knowledge? Meaning, we're not stam trying to become self-aware. We see that very much in today's society. People that they want to be self-aware, they want to know themselves, they just don't want to do anything about it. Knowing yourself is not for the sake, it's not intellectual. Knowing yourself is for the purpose of working on yourself. Yediyas atzmo shona mikol yediyas acheres she'adam yachal lerchosh. Knowledge of the self, knowing yourself, is different than any other type of limud. It's not like science, it's not like math. Kol adam hina olam miyuchad. V'hayediya al olamai hapnimi muchrachu ba'amtzai litzmai kemat bebli kol azara mizulasam. Every single person, and we're going to discuss this when we get to this stage of the Sefer, every single person is an individual world. Every one of us is a world. But not just a world, it's an individualized world. Every single one of us is different. So knowing what he calls your olamai hapnimi, your internal world, so then it's muchrach that you're going to find yourself without any help from anybody else. Hare olam, hare mada, v'rak adam echad yachal liyased mada zeh, v'asher rashi kosev, v'hoylech bedarch libecha, kefira oisei necha. You are the world, you are the knowledge, and there's only one person that can establish this knowledge. And that's you. That's you. And that's how Rashi explains the Gemara. V'hoylech bedarch libecha, what does it mean to walk in the ways of your heart? Kefira oisei necha. The way that you see the world. Yidias atzmeinu eina madam misuyam. This is not an exact science. Ve'ein lanu ela ma she'einenu ra'os. All we can rely upon is that which we experience. Ve'yesh lanu lilmud atzmeinu she'nitiv liros. And we have to learn ourselves so that we could learn how to see. We have to reestablish vision. Ve'sechazena einenu. We have to reestablish vision. In other words, like this. Revolvi, as we're going to see throughout the Sefer, is very different than many of the Balei Musar. Many of the Balei Musar, they tell you what to do. Revolvi is not like that at all. As I said to you guys, very psychologically astute. Revolvi's whole yesod is that you know yourself. And nobody else could tell you anything about yourself. Of course, we should be smart enough. Of course, we should be smart enough to listen to what our Rebbeim have to say, to listen to what our parents have to say, the people that love us, the people that care about us, of course. But at the end of the day, it's got to be you. Because you are the only one that could know yourself. I, as a Rebbe, do not know what's going on inside of your heart. It's not shaykh for me to know that. The point here is, you have to learn the sugya of yourself. Yeah?
Can we say that a Rebbe has to know his Talmud better than the Talmud knows himself?
It's true that there's value to a Rebbe who's a third party, objective party, who knows you, who could tell you, okay, I see this is an area you're struggling with. A Rebbe could challenge you. But at the end of the day, a Rebbe who says, and we have to be very careful when Rebbeim do this, very dangerous, a Rebbe who says, oh, you should do this because I did this, that's terrible. Because the Rebbe is totally different. First of all, he's a different person. Second of all, no two set of circumstances are exactly alike. Third of all, we as Rebbeim do not know how, when you move one piece of the puzzle, how other pieces get moved. Remember, guys, a person is a system. Just like he's an entire world, we're going to learn that a person is a system. Whenever you make any moves within the system, things in the system start to shift. So I know a Rosh Hashiva once, I won't say his name, but this is a little bit of a wild story, that there was a heavyset guy in his yeshiva. Like a real heavyset guy in his yeshiva. And the guy started losing weight. And the Rosh Hashiva went over to him, and it's a very chosh of a Rosh Hashiva. The Rosh Hashiva went over to him and he said to him, you should be careful not to lose too much weight. This is usually not the advice you would expect from a Rosh Hashiva. A person should be healthy. That's the halacha. And the Rosh Hashiva was joking around with him. Again, they were very close. He said to him, you're a fat guy. don't not be a fat guy. And people were like trying to figure out like, what this was not a Rashiva who just stam said things. This is a Rashiva who was like a very cheshbon person. So they went over to this Rashiva. I know the Rashiva. They went over to him afterwards and they asked him like, Rebbe, what was that about? He's a guy, he's trying to get healthy, he's trying to do good things with his life. How could the Rashiva tell him not to lose weight? He said, when you move one part of the system, other pieces start to move. All I was telling him was, you got to be careful. A guy like that, he's a jolly guy. You start to lose weight, you don't know what the impact on the other end of the system is going to be. And he's right. I'm not saying a person shouldn't lose weight. You know, especially today in yeshiva, the Rashiva's sichot revolve around mostly Rabbi Safra, but also, you know, maybe if I start, you know, doing Himalayan salt also, you know, cutting my lines of Himalayan salt, maybe I'll get a shout out of Sukkah. But my guys were all ready to go after the Rashiva. But okay, you know, but again, a person, of course, should lose weight. Of course, a healthy thing to do. A person should exercise, a person should lose weight. But at the end of the day, you got to know yourself, because we as Rebbeim, we cannot take achrayas. When one part of the system moves, what's going to be the fallout on the other end? In fact, I'll tell you a great maisa. A young man in yeshiva was planning on going to a secular college that doesn't have a minyan on even Yom Kippur. Okay? Talking about a serious, off-the-charts secular college. And this is not, you know, like, you know, they say, like, oh, there's a really good Hillel. There's not a really good Hillel. Okay? I don't think they have a Hillel. So, the boy came to him about Saturday. He starts really getting into learning. And he starts discussing with us, should I, shouldn't I, what should I do, right? While he was recruiting him, what should I do? I want to tell you an unbelievable thing. You know, the Rosh Yeshiva drives Rav Asher every Sunday night. The Rosh Yeshiva spoke to Rav Asher about it. This boy's family was like, he's going to this college. His mother made a lot of sacrifices that he should be able to go to this college. So you know what Rav Asher said? Rav Asher said, you can't tell him that he must leave that college because you can't take responsibility for the negative impact and the family fallout. Can you imagine such a thing? Usually you go to a Gadol B'Torah, they say, what do you mean, Yarag Bal Yavar, you got to get him out of there, you got to save his... And by the way, he does struggle there. He's hanging in, but he's struggling. The Lamaisa, we as Rebbeim do not know what's best for you. You have to own your choices. Every single person is an Olam Mala, you're an Olam Miyuchad. And the only thing that you have in your life is how you see the world. That's the only thing you have, how you see the world. Because at the end of the day, you have to be responsible for your decisions. So we have to learn ourselves to make sure that the way we see the world is accurate, because rationalization will kill you. Bias is natural to a person. Every single person is biased, including myself. Even right now in this year, I'm biased. Every single person is biased. We see the world through the lens of our own bias, every one of us. It takes time for us to be able to get to a stage where we can see ourselves to know I'm lying to myself. You know the famous line? Rationalize means rational lies. Yeah? And by the way, all of our rationalizations make amazing sense, no? We work it out, mamish, that it should be exactly the most logical thing. But at the end of the day, it's mamish, a lie. I'll give you an example. 11 years ago, we made Aliyah. Crazy story, we ended up in an apartment that we weren't supposed to end up in. I guess we were supposed to end up in this apartment, but I didn't want to end up in this apartment. After a year, we were leaving this apartment. So the apartment, when we moved in there, was whitewashed. Okay, you know what whitewash is? Whitewash isn't even paint. It's whitewash, okay? So at the end of the year, we have to repaint the apartment, right? So the guy says, okay, so you're chayiv for repainting the apartment. You're chayiv whitewash, right? So I'm just going to give paint. I'm just going to give paint, and the painter you hire, instead of having to do whitewash, just have him do it with the paint. Now, all of a sudden, my biased mind goes into overdrive. I start making a cheshbon. I'm only chayiv whitewash. If he wants paint, that's on top of the whitewash. Because he wants the paint. So I'll pay for the cost of the whitewash and let him pay for the actual painter. Because if it's whitewash, I could just do it myself. I could take a rolling pin and roll it around this apartment. But if it's paint, that's a a little bit more of a precise job. Once he wants paint, I'm out of the whitewash business. Now all I have to pay him is the amount of the whitewash. Okay? Now, if you take even 10 seconds to think about what I just said, you will notice that that is the dumbest, most illogical argument of all time. It doesn't make any sense. I mamish became convinced of this argument. So I went to my Rav, and I said to the Rav, I said, what do you think? And he looked at me, he goes, wow, it is amazing how we can lie to ourselves. That was his response to me. Right then and there, I knew I wanted him to be my Rav in Eretz Yisrael. You know, mamish called me out on it. We can come up with the dumbest thing. So what do we need? Rectification of the way that we see the world. Because if you see the world in a broken way, what's going to happen? You're going to be convinced that you're seeing the truth. So keep in mind, boys, as we're getting ready to do our homework until next week, what are our biases? What are our lies that we're telling ourselves in our lives? We're all lying to ourselves on some level. Zui avoda asher lefaneinu. This is the avoda that's in front of us. Umatov. How good is it, he says. We don't need to find from strange places this halacha, so to speak, that you have to know yourself. It's a beferisha gemara. You see how Revolbi saw the world? We don't need to go find strange makoros. It's like brought down in a Shibole Alekid who quotes a Yalkut Shimoni that was once quoted by the... No. He said, it's a beferish gemara with Rashi. The havodahi. And what is the work? Yidias atzmeinu. A. Knowing yourself. V'tikun atzmeinu. Rectifying yourself. Until when? Ad kidei mitziya shalom l'nafshenu. Until we get to a stage of inner peace. V'ha'esek b'tayra mitach simchu v'tov leivav. And to learn Torah from a place of joy. Asher b'zeh adam niya l'tamul chacham mufa. In this way you will become a tamul chacham that actually glows. Tamul Chacham Muvak. Muvak means to illuminate. Sefer Torah Chai. A lebedika Sefer Torah. A living Sefer Torah. Shehis achid v'hishtali v'matara. That you should become one with the Torah. Zuhi matara seinu ba'avay da'apratis. This is the reason we're doing this work. Now, Rabbi, I want you to hear how Revolbi summed it up. It's so powerful. What's the goal? Know yourself. Fix yourself. Become serene. Get that internal state of harmony. What will that result in? Learning Torah from a place of joy, which will make you into a true Talmud Chacham, which will make you into a Lebedik Sefer Torah, until the degree that you yourself, when people talk to you, you'll just be overflowing with Torah. You'll become one with the Torah. That's the purpose. People often say, you know, like, do I really need to learn? Yes. Yes. Yes, you really need to learn. In your life, you need to become a Lebedik Sefer Torah. That's the goal. So Revolbi is setting up major ambitions for us. To get to the stage where you in your life, where somebody asks you a question and you see the world through the lens of Torah. Okay. Shleima Samidus, yeah.
I got down to Torah with, learning Torah with joy. What was the...
Learning Torah with joy so that you can become a Talmud Chacham Muvhak, yeah, a real Talmud Chacham, a Lebedik Sefer Torah who has become one with the Torah. Okay? You know, I want to tell you something. How many people here have ever been in SAR? So I went to SAR. I want to tell you, regardless of whether you agree or disagree with some of the policies there, I want to tell you something. It's a very impressive building. And I don't mean the physical plant. Many yeshivas have very nice physical buildings. The hashkafa of the building is fascinating. Have you guys ever heard the hashkafa of the building? It's wild. I went on a tour of SAR with my good friend Rabbi Akiva Block, who's the 12th grade Rebbe in SAR. And amongst the many things that they have there, they have the windows of the Beis Medrash overlook the city. And they have psukim engraved into the glass. Why? So that when you look out into the outside world, you should see the world through the lens of Torah. It's an exceptional building. Regardless of whether you agree or disagree with them, there's something exceptionally special about that. That, I believe, is what Revolbi is talking about. That we should have eyes, that we should become one with the Torah, so that we should have eyes, we should see the world through that unbiased lens of Torah. By the way, you know, that's how Moshe Rabbeinu saw the world. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he had Asbaklaria Meiru, the Gemara says. He had total clarity when he saw the world. He didn't see the world the way we see the world, which is through the lens of our own bias. Okay. Shleimus hamidos hechrechu la'asagas Torah ma'alasel. If a person wants to learn Torah, it must be that he's working on his midos. Why? Zuhi zehu me'am before semis. This is famous. U'divrei chazal barer milalu ki ha'Torah nikneis b'memches ma'alas shal midos tovus. We know Chazal speak about that the Torah can be acquired in 48 ways. You guys know about this? The 48 ways that the Torah can be acquired? You should look it up. What was that? Yes, it's correct. It's in Pirkei Avos. So he says, Kana makom lehizbainet oid pam bedivrei Rabbeinu Chaim Vital shekasuv b'shar kedusha shar beis sheheveinu b'akdam l'shar hasheni. This is a good time, he says, to go through a very famous piece from Rav Chaim Vital. You guys know Rav Chaim Vital is?
Yep.
Chaim Vital was the Talmud of
Arizal.
The Arizal, correct. So listen what he says. Matzeno Behem will find in them as he has sowed l'chol avodas ha'adam. In this that we're about to learn, we're going to learn the foundation of working on yourself. Shamidos hein ha'yesoid v'hakisei v'hasherish. Midos are the foundation, they're the seed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they're the root of everything. L'nefesh ha'sichlis asher ba tolo ikiyam ha'mitzvos. Because it goes together with the Nefesh HaSichlis. What does Nefesh HaSichlis mean? Your rational mind, which is a necessary requirement for all Kiyam HaTorah and Mitzvahs. Kashlamu l'dvarim eilo yavo kan divrei Rabbeinu Hagaon Rav Yisrael Salanter b'michtav b'sefer Ar Yisrael. We're going to learn now, how many people have heard of Rav Yisrael Salanter? He was the founder of the Musar movement. So we're going to learn a piece from Rav Yisrael Salanter.
What did that connect him with the 48
You'll see. Everything. You'll see. He says, you should go back to read in the Shar Kedusha and Shar Beis, which is earlier in the Sefer, that we brought in the Akdamah to Shar Sheni, the words of Rav Chaim Vital. But here we're going to read from Rav Yisrael Salanter.
Rational or irrational?
Rational. Ki hagam shah Torah misar lebnei Adam, even though Torah was given to a person. Lachdoch in yana kafi matar seichel enoshi, and every single person learns it according to the level of their seichel. Loi nich b'shehi lasos ba kichavtzenu al pitaluchas ritzonosenu. Pigel hu lo yirtza. Lahashiv tshuva l'shoalenu tzedek u'lishavtenu meishar. Wild words, strong words. I'm going to translate them for you. The Torah was not given to you to conquer, to do with it what you will, according to your desires. You know, a lot of people do that here, do that today. It's pigelhu, lo yiritza. HaKadosh Baruch Hu considers this a carbon pigel. You know what a carbon pigel is? We're going to see. We'll see. It's a certain type of carbon that when you have machshava zaros, it's no good. And you're going to answer questions according to what? Not according to the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to answer them, but according to the way you use the Torah. You know, today, if you go to five different shuls on Parshas Noach, you're going to hear five different drashos on Noach's Teva. Yeah? If you're in a Haredi place, they're going to tell you, there's a flood outside, you go in a Teva, you lock the door. You go to a more modern place, they say, yeah, but there's a window in the Teva, because you got to see into the outside world. And ultimately, you have to leave the Teva. You go back to the Haredi place, and they're going to tell you, but look what happened when he left the Teva. Noach got drunk. And he was involved in, his sons were involved in terrible things. You go back into the modern place, they go, but that's what it means to bring a korban and to say, I'm going out into the world. And you could mamish dance between two shuls, hearing the same shmuz on the teva, and each one of them is going to sound totally different. There was a window. Was it really a window? Maybe it was a jewel because we wouldn't want to have any impact, and we wouldn't have contact with the outside world. No, it was a window. Yeah, but there was the window that only allows you to see out. It doesn't shine. It doesn't allow anyone to see in. All these different drashos. And believe me, I've been on both sides of the fence for a long time. So I've heard both drashos. What's the pshat? Because it's not always coming. And I'm not suggesting either one of these. But it's not always coming from what is the Torah actually trying to communicate. A lot of times you'll see sometimes people are trying to cram their particular hashkafa into what the words of the Torah say. The Torah is very clear, but we don't necessarily want to see it because we have our own desires. By the way, you'll see this a lot in your own learning in the morning. Let's say you come up against a Taisus, Machloikas Rashi Taisus. you have a kasha. So you're trying to cram Tosis' pshat into what you want to say, but it doesn't work. It's not what Tosis says. It takes a degree, as we're going to see, of intellectual honesty to understand what Tosis says. So let's see how Rav Volbi explains this from Rav Yisrael Salanter. Kleimer, lo b'shamayim hi. Torah is not in heaven. And we are obligated to paskin the halacha according to the way we understand it. But Torah was not given to a person who has bias. You know why we can't paskin halacha often? Because we have bias. So when somebody comes to Berg and they say, Rebbe, what should I do? You know what comes up for me? Well, what do I want this Talmud to do? And not necessarily, what does the halacha say? That's why I am not one of the Balei Mesorah. Because in order to be one of the Balei Mesorah in Klal Yisrael, Chevra, hear me clear. You have to be somebody who has no bias. You can't have interest. They say, by the way, this was the godless of Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. You've heard of Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky?
Yeah.
I hope you've heard of Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. He was the Gadol Ador in the last generation, Rashiva of Torah Vadas. They say that Rav Yaakov had no bias. That when people would come to speak to him, he could see clearly. And I'll tell you a maisa. It's a good maisa. How many people here have heard of Rav Breidowitz? Should all be ashamed. Rav Breidowitz is a tremendous Talmid Chacham. He lives in Yerushalayim today. He's Rashiv and Ar Sameach. But before Rav Breidowitz was Rashiv and Ar Sameach, he was many, many moons ago considered the top Talmud in a yeshiva called Ner Yisrael. And Rav Ruderman was the Rashiva then, and it was well known that Rav Ruderman was grooming Rav Breidowitz to be the Rashiva of Ner Yisrael. They had Chavrusa, and everybody expected Rav Breidowitz to be the next Rashiva. There was only one problem. Rav Breidowitz didn't want to be the Rosh Yeshiva. He wanted to be a professor of law. And he told Rav Ruderman, he said he finally got the courage up to tell Rav Ruderman, I don't want to be the Rosh Yeshiva. You can imagine this was very difficult for Rav Ruderman to hear. So Rav Ruderman said, I can't talk logically to you, I'm too invested. You must go to my cousin in New York, and you must go to Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky and ask him. So he traveled to New York, and he went to Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, and the way he told me the story was Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky saw that he had already made up his mind. He wasn't really asking a question. So Rav Yaakov told him, in everything you do, you should be mar b'kvod shamayim. And so he took his LSATs, he went to Harvard Law. Yeah, he's that type of personality. He could just take his LSATs and go to Harvard Law. He's pretty smart. And you know what he did? He became a professor of law in University of Maryland. And then, because he said, I also wanted to do something for Klal Yisrael, he became a Rav in Silver Spring. And he was like the Rav in Silver Spring. You talk to anybody, they loved him. And then he made Aliyah, and in the end he said, I ended up a Rosh Yeshiva anyway. But you see the godless of Rav Ruderman. What was the godless of Rav Ruderman? He was too close to the situation. So he couldn't tell Rav Breidowitz what to do. But Rav Breidowitz was an individual, right? Yes, he had a Rebbe, but he also knew that he was an Olam HaMiuchad. And then he went to Rav Yaakov, and how did Rav Yaakov answer him? Rav Yaakov didn't give him a schmooze about being from. He saw him for who he was, and he said, if that's who you are, go for it. Just be mar b'kvayt shamayim in everything you do. To increase the glory of God everywhere in the world. You understand? That's a real Rebbe, that's a real Talmud. I'm sure that Rav Breidowitz took it under consideration that Rav Ruderman wanted him to be the Rosh Yeshiva. But he also knew himself. You hear the Torah? You got to know yourselves. So the Torah is not in Shemayim. We have to pass in the halacha according to our seichel. However, only if we have no bias. Einena kavusha etzleinu shenuchal lasas ba kafia oila al haseichel meshuka minigius. It wasn't given to us to do with it as we will because of our bias. You know what shoychad means? Shoychad means bribery. If a judge is bribed even a little bit, what's the halacha, guys? Is to recuse himself from the case. Why? Because it's not possible to be unbiased. You have to know that. It's not possible to be unbiased. Hashol me'itanu din Torah. If somebody asks us, what's the din? V'soymach aleinu lekabel tshuva l'amita shel Torah. And they want to know, give me a true answer. What does the Torah actually say about this? No, you're going to come back from yeshiva. They're going to say to you, Nu Shefala, what did you learn this year in yeshiva? They're going to come to you, what's the halacha? You have to answer not what you think the halacha is. You have to answer what the actual halacha is, according to the Amita Shel Torah, the truth of Torah. And we answer in this biased way according to what we feel the answer should be. We're not training ourselves to say, I don't know. We have to train ourselves to say, I don't know. Hare, listen carefully now. Unbelievable, powerful words. Hare kemo shekarban ha-nishchat b'machshavas pigel, ein ha-karban ha-aylo l'ratzon el ha-pigel. If a person shechts a karban, and it's a karban with the wrong machshava, it's called pigel. Kach ha-locha she-nishchat toch negiyas ein ha-tayra el ha-pigel lo yiratzon. If you paskin a halacha, according not to what the Shulchan Aruch says, not what the Ramah says, not what the Noisei Kelim say, but according to what you want the halacha to be, that's pigel lo yirtze. Very powerful words. A person could be learning Torah, and you should know the Torah that you're learning, it's not wanted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know why? Because it's not his Torah. It's your Torah. It has to be his Torah. It's the Rabban Shalom's Torah. Are you being honest with yourselves? How many times every single day am I talking to guys, no, I'm not down for this. Slow down. Slow down. You're biased. You're biased. Don't look at the world through that lens. That's pigel lo yirtze. Mevur bezeh. So it becomes clear from this. It's strong words, no? Pigel lo yirtze. Mevur bezeh. Ki avoy de kevirim mutelis al mishe reitze liskeis lotaris emes. It comes out that this is a grand avodah. It's a huge work on somebody who wants to have Torah and truth. You know, you see guys in the Beis Medrash, Baruch Hashem, till 11, 11:30, even 12 o'clock at night. I left Beis Medrash last night at midnight. Rav Steinitz's shiur was still going. You had a couple of guys sprinkled around the Beis Medrash. Unbelievable, right? But it could very well be that a guy who's sitting in Beis Medrash till 12, 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning, it could very well be that his Torah is pigel lo yirtze. You know why? Because he's not learning amita shel Torah. He's just seeing it through the lens of his own bias because he's not learning Musar. That's why it's so important that everybody should have at least a couple of minutes of Musar in every single day. Because otherwise, if you're not checking yourself constantly, your bias takes over. Aside from the fact that a person should be able to paskin the halacha the way the halacha actually is, aside from that. We have to work on our seichel. We have to work on our intelligence. What does it mean? To try to increase your IQ? No, we're not interested in increasing your IQ. What are we interested in? Having seichel hayasher, having a straight mind. So that at the time that you're learning Torah, don't allow any bias to come into your mind. See it straight. See it for what it is. We're all living in an Olam HaDimyon. See it straight. How many people here have ever had the following? Don't raise your hand. The answer, I hope, is everybody. You said a pshat. And then your chavrusa said a pshat. I want to be right so badly, but I know in my heart my chavrusa's pshat makes more sense than mine. So you start to go, but what about this? But what about that? Yeah, but Lamaisa, you're wrong. Lamaisa, you're wrong. You know that. I remember I had a chavrusa. He was much sharper than me. His name is Usher Korbel. He was my chavrusa for many years. He was much sharper than me. I would say a pshat. I'm not a stupid guy. I would say a pshat. Then he would say a pshat. Sometimes my pshat was right. Sometimes his pshat was right. But I knew if he said something and I was like attached to mine, we got into a fight, and then he asked a kasha that like undermined my whole thing, I was like, oh man, I know I just lost. It would take me at least another 10 minutes until I got there. Another 10 minutes of hammering away at his teretz. Why? Because I didn't want mine to be wrong. Do you realize how gaivadik that is? Do you realize how biased that is? If we were really searching for Torah Hashem Emes, then as soon as you hear the right pshat, what do? I'm out. God, I'm out. I got tagged out. But say there, I lost that battle. But good, we won because we arrived at a correct conclusion. No, it was about my gaiva. I want to win. I want to win. You can have another guy. He says, I want to be the last guy in the base medrash. I'm going to be the guy that's in the base medrash till 1 o'clock in the morning. Go to sleep. But you're a lunatic. You need to go to sleep so you can wake up on the Rosh Hashanah. No, I'm going to be the last guy. Or another guy. You can have and bias the other way. I don't want to be the first guy to say, okay, I'm in and I'm doing extra chazara. Because I don't care. I don't want to have to deal with the way that people look at me now. Chevra, Rabbi said, this is all bias. You're not learning Hashem's Torah. You're learning your Torah. And while I admire your Torah, that is not the goal. That's not the ultimate truth. How awesome is the obligation to purify your midos in order that you could arrive to truly understand Torah. Rabbi said, so we have 5 minutes. Should we go a little bit more? We have 5 more minutes. Should we go a little more? Yeah?
Yeah, maybe.
We'll go a little more. Okay. So far, just to take away in terms of the homework. Just take away in terms of the homework. Number one. Yeah, so far. Number one. What are our biases? Understand the things that touch you in a way that you like find yourself going up against them and saying, no, I'm not down for them. Yeah? Make a list of them. I don't like to be wrong. Makes me feel like I'm inferior, right? Whatever that list is.
You define biases one more
time. Yeah, the things that make me stay away. For example, like, I don't know if you've ever had this, Gillen, because you're like an in-shape type of guy. Yeah, but like, I justify, like, all right. Let's say I sit down to eat a slice of pizza. I say, okay, two slices, I'm going for two, right? But there's only one slice left, and why should I put it in the freezer and, like, it's not going to be as good. I'll just eat it as if I'm a human garbage. You understand? That's a bias. It's obviously, it's distorted, right? I know people that have done that with entire pies. That's like, yeah, some of it, we, at some point in our life, listen, I want to tell you something. I shouldn't tell you this, especially because it's recorded and being posted, but it's okay. You don't have to pause it. If I'm going to say it in front of you guys, I'll say it in front of the whole world. There used to be KFC in the mall over here. It was big. It was big. The yeshiva guys, we didn't have Burgers Bar across the street. So go to the mall for KFC. In fact, email came out right around the time that I was in yeshiva. I know that sounds strange to you. So we had to make email addresses. So my email address when I left Mevaseret was KFC Zinger, which was the chicken sandwich that they had there, at hotmail.com.
Can we send an email?
No. That email address is long since defunct. KFC Zinger, that was a great chicken sandwich. You know what we would do? Because we were super stark. We would stay in base measures till 11:30 at night. And then at 11:30 at night, we had a thing. This was my Shana Aleph. We had a thing. It's like 11:30, you know? Wants to go to sleep at 11:30. But 11:30, that was like we stayed post-night at 11:30, we were doing great. So we would walk to the mall at 11:30 at night, and we would get there at exactly 11:40. And at 11:45, KFC closed. What were they going to do with all the leftover KFC that had been sitting in the warmers? The answer is, they gave them to the poor people that would line up outside the mall to get the leftovers from that night. Who would join those poor people? We young, hungry men of Mevaseret would sit there with impoverished people going like, hey man, like, you got any extra wings? Do you realize how sick that is? So somebody said something to us, like, you're literally taking poor, you're taking food out of like poor people's mouths. Can you imagine? Starving little immigrants. So, one of the guys said, it's plenty of food. And I remember thinking, oh, this is really wrong. If we were justifying to ourselves taking food from poor people's mouths, that's bias, you understand? That's when we stopped. Okay, that's when I stopped. I went a couple times after that, but that's when I was in the mode of stop. So number one, what are your biases? Number two, am I actually interested in learning what Hashem has to say? Or am I coming into this year saying, all right, I have this thing that I'm not going to let myself go past? You know, Rav Noach Weinberg, the founding Rosh Yeshiva of Eish HaTorah, he had a great line. He said, if you're a Democrat or a Republican looking for truth, you're not looking for truth. Because you've already decided you're a Democrat or a Republican. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avram Avinu, Lech Lecha, he didn't tell him what the destination was because, and here's the line, a journey for truth can have no destination. What are the things holding us back? I'm here in yeshiva, but never will I ever cross this line. Never will I ever cross this line. How many guys have come to yeshiva and told me, I'm coming to yeshiva, but no matter what, I'm not fill in the blank.
Can you repeat the journey's line?
A journey for truth has no destination. So what are the things when you come to yeshiva, you say, never will I ever. How many guys have come to me and said, okay, I told my parents, no matter what, don't let me, and then fill in the blank. Don't let me switch to this college. Don't let me come shun a bet. Whatever it is, everyone has our things, right? You should know those are the things holding you back. Last question. We'll finish with this. I want you to track yourselves over the course of the next couple of days. And I want you to become curious observers of self in the following dimension. When you're hearing a shir, or when you're learning b'chavrusa, ask yourself, what are the things that are stopping me from actually hearing the shir? What I mean to say is, let's say the Rebbe said something and it bristled, it's like, whoa. Let's say, I don't know, I'll pick any random Rebbe out of that. Let's say Rav Zucker, yeah? Any random Rebbe, yeah? Says something and makes you go, no. No, it's a lottery, yeah? Any random Rebbe says something. And all of a sudden you find yourselves doing what? You find yourself going, no, I don't like that. I can't hang out. I got to switch out this year. Whoa, slow down. What just happened? Your chavrusa said something. What was the midah that it came up against? What was the thing that when you heard that, you said, yeah, that's my bias. So the three things. Number one, what do you think your biases are? Number two, what are the things you say, never will I ever? And number three, as you track yourself in a shir, what's stopping you? Is it, I get bored during shir, my phone, the thing the Rebbe said? What's stopping you from being totally engaged? Even, am I tired? Right? Because if I'm tired, that's also a shtickle bias. Because if you're tired, why aren't you going to sleep at night? By the way, I'm a big admirer of the fighters. I'm a big admirer of the fighters. A guy who does this, this is a fighter. This is a fighter. You ready for this? The guy who does this is a fighter. Yeah, you see, I'm a big admirer of the fighters. But you gotta go to sleep. One time in shul on Friday night, usually I'm up. I'm up, I'm stark, I'm paying attention to the Rav's drasha. One time my mamish didn't go to sleep. Came out all Thursday night, I worked like a dog all Friday. Friday night I was in full fighting mode. You know, the head bob. The head bob is dangerous. You can almost break your neck that way. You've seen people, it's terrible. Yeah. That's. Anyway, we don't have to get into it now. It's a well-known story already. So, Kitzer, I went over to the Rav afterwards and I apologized. Got to apologize. The person was speaking to me and I fell asleep while he was talking to me. So he said, Mordechai, I admired the fight. He said, I was giving the drasha. And I was watching you fight. He's like, I have to admit, half my mind was giving the drasha and half my mind was watching the fight. I admire the fighters. But you got to get some sleep. That's also bias. All right, Rabbi. Have a wonderful Shabbat.